Joshua 24, the last chapter of the book of Joshua. We'll get back to James, but today we want to speak from this chapter. We're going to read a few verses to start off this time, getting into God's Word. We're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to read all the way to 15. We'll read every other verse. I'll start us, and then you join with me on the even verses, but we'll all read verse 15 together. Joshua 24, 1 to 15. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron. And I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not. And ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and oliveyards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And together, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to speak to you on our theme for the year, One Life, One Choice, Serve Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Bible reading, and even just hearing it and processing all that was said by Joshua. It's a sermon right there. He just preached a sermon even to us. Thank you that your word is applicable to us today. It's timeless. Thank you for that. And I pray you'd give us understanding. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit, Father. Help everyone here that's saved to be spirit-filled listeners as well. And if there's lost people here today, God, they would not walk out of here lost. They would walk out of here saved, knowing that they're on their way to heaven, not because of any religion, but because of Jesus Christ. Take now this feeble man and help me, God, to honor you, that I may please you, and that your church might be helped today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you be seated, please? Thank you for standing. What an amazing passage of Scripture that we just read. And it's coming down to the end, and you'll find that at the end of the chapter, but it's coming down to the end of the life of the man by the name of Joshua, who in many ways is a favorite Bible character of many people. Maybe even some of you today have studied the life of Joshua and read about him. Of course, there's a book named after him. That's kind of gives somebody a little bit of credence. But obviously, it was his relationship with God. But I'm praying that God would help us in 2026 as a church to get a hold of this verse. And honestly, we could have lumped in verse 14 and had a really long memory verses. Because the theme is there as well, but that we might allow God to challenge us in an area of our life, whatever that may be. I do not see your heart, and you do not see mine, but our Heavenly Father does. I believe this theme has been impressed upon my heart for some time, and I believe the reason it is impressed upon my heart is because of the brevity of life, the brevity of life. We might have our life planned out. We might think we're going to do this, we're going to do that, here, there, everywhere. But even in our recent, what we've been talking about and praying about here this morning, we recognize that the amount of time we have on this earth is not in our hands. We do not get to determine the appointment that we have. As the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die. You and I have that appointment. Now, if you're not saved, I would really take notice of what I just said. You have an appointment with death. I know you didn't come to hear that maybe, but I have to, by the grace of God, tell you that. You have an appointment with death, and you do not get to determine when that appointment will take place. You might think it'll take place over a period of time. I'll get sick, and I'll have time to think about getting right with God. That could be, but it also could be it's going to be instant. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to warn you in love that you have an appointment, as do I. Now, as believers, we also have an appointment. Just because we get saved doesn't mean we're going to live forever necessarily. Now, our spirit will live forever in Christ. Hallelujah. But someday, if we don't go up by the undertaker, then we're going to have to go by the undertaker, which means my body will die at some point. And I want to invest every amount of energy possible. Now, I don't, because I'm a sinner, by the way, saved by grace. But I want to determine that. I don't want to just live on that and just say, well, I can't serve God because I'm a sinner. No, that's a bunch of baloney. We need to serve God in the spirit of God's grace and goodness and not let the devil bring up whatever it is that he's trying to bring up. And so the brevity of life, and we think about the brevity of life, some scripture comes to mind. First off, we think of the book of James that we're looking through right now, and there's a verse there, and if you hold your finger in Joshua 24 and go back with me to the chapter 4 of James, and it's a verse you're going to want to mark in your Bible, and you're going to want to mark it in your life, because it's one of those verses that there's got to be a stake right there. You know, it's life-changing, revealing, it's kind of an in-your-face verse. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And this question alone is a message, not for today, but for what is your life? I mean, just think about that question. What is my life? I think we've even preached on that before, but you know, my life is not a pastor, by the way. My life is not a husband. That's not my life. My life is not my career, basically. I don't want to be known by my career. That's not my life. That's not your life. For what is your life? Think about that. What is your life? Some people are just striving to put everything into this, and it's temporal. That doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do our best. But what is your life? Is your life wrapped around an education? Don't do that. That's not your life. Get an education, but that shouldn't be your life. Your life is Christ. Your life is the Lord. Your life is His will. Your life is His way. Your life is whatever God wants. That's got to be our life. By the way, if you're saved, you can live that way in the power of the Spirit of God. He said, what is your life? It is even a vapor. that appeareth for a little, emphasizing that word, little, time. And then what does it do? It's gone. One life, one choice, serve Christ. Would you go to the book of Psalm, please, verse 90, chapter 90, pardon me. Psalm and 90. Let the Bible speak to your heart this morning. Thank you for being here on the Lord's Day. It's an honor to start 2026 with you as an under-shepherd, as your brother in Christ, as a friend. It's an honor. It really is. And maybe this is the year we're all going to see Jesus. We ought to be longing for that. And we ought to be looking for that. And when you do that, guess what it does with your life? It makes it change. You know, who wants to be living in rebellion when Christ returns? Raise your hand. Well, there's a lot of hands raised right now. Nope, there's not a one. Because nobody wants to be living in rebellion. We want to be living as close to God as possible. I mean, it doesn't mean we're perfect, but we want to get as close to God as we possibly can. Look at Psalm 90, verse 10. Of course, this is the psalm that's been attributed to Moses. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, but this is the psalm that has been attributed to Moses. And it says in verse 10, the days of our years, all right, here's something to take note of, are 70 years and 10. How many is that, math class? 70. And if, now that word if is there, okay, I'm not trying to discourage you, but if by reason of strength they be 80 years, all right, math, we're back in school, 80, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, okay, I don't think we have anybody here over 80 anyway, I think we're all under 80, yet is there strength, so even if you live to be 70 or 80, don't you love how God put this? That yet is a conjunction that we don't use a whole lot in 2026, but you can, and you're allowed to. Yet is there strength, labor, and what? Oh, man, it's right there. I mean, it's okay. When sorrow comes, we shouldn't be like, oh, I didn't think I was going to have this. No, it tells us right here. Even if we live to be 70 or 80, we're going to have strength, there's going to be work, but there's also going to be sorrow. Then notice what it says here. This really grabbed my attention again. For it, life, is, what's the next word? Soon. Maybe you want to underline that word, soon. I got a lot of time to get right with God. No, you don't. Your life might be taken soon. I can get saved next year. No, you may not have next year. Your life could go soon. I'm gonna join the church. I'm gonna serve God next time. No, soon your life could be taken. And what does it say? We fly away. Just like James said, it vanisheth. Moses said, flies away. I mean, it's really the same concept. Done, gone. And then, yes, our testimony can live on for Christ. But after that, we have nothing left to invest for the Lord. Let's go back to Joshua 24. The time that Joshua had left on earth was fading away. In fact, his life, he didn't maybe know it necessarily, and he would live to be 110 years old, so he went a little higher than 80, didn't he? 70 and 10, 110. But his days were just about done. And he was on the end of his life, and boy, what a preacher he was in this chapter. What a message he delivered. This would be his final sermon, if you will, to the people of God. Notice, if you will, we're going to get an outline here in a minute, but notice, if you will, we'll get into this as far as we can today, but I think we'll finish it. But notice he starts in verses 1 and 2, he starts with the leadership. Did you catch that when we were reading that? First thing he does is, and I think about leadership, I think about one of my pastors who's been with the Lord a long time, but he is attributed as saying everything rises and falls on leadership. That's Dr. Lee Robertson. And you don't have to be the pastor to be a leader. Leadership could be the pastor, pastoral leadership, it could be deacons, it could be Sunday school teachers, it could be a mom, it could be a dad, it could be an employee, might be a leader, it might be the manager or whatever. In every way, in one way or another, we all have some kind of leadership. Somebody is following you, whether you have the title leadership or not. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. Now, this meeting place that they're meeting at, we're going to finish reading in just a minute, this was not unfamiliar to the people of God. In fact, the word Shechem means back or shoulder. And why this is so important is because this is the same place that God spoke to Abraham and made a promise regarding the land. That's Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. We won't turn there. Not only that, Jacob built an altar there in Genesis chapter 33 and verse 20. And then finally, Jacob in Genesis chapter 35, he challenged his family because they were worshiping idols in this place called Shechem. So this was a come to Jesus moment in Shechem many times over in the life of the nation of Israel. Now Joshua knew that these people were prone to worship idols. By the way, before you say, yeah, those Baal worshiping Israelites, no, everybody in here worships idols too. They just look different. Because unless you're obeying God 100% of the time, then there is an idol in your life, and there's an idol in my life, and maybe more than one. And that's why we need to choose you this day. Choose you this day. Choose you this month. Choose you this year. Look, everybody here is serving something. Let's change the something to a someone by the grace of God. Let's ask God, God, this is the year, 2026, this is the year. But don't think about the year, think about the day. Every day when you get up, God, this is the day you have made. I want to rejoice, be glad in it, and serve you today. And pray. We got to make this a prayer request. It can't just be seen on Sunday and Wednesday and when pastor emails the devotional out. No, it's got to be in front of our face. It's got to be on our prayer list that we ask God, God, I want to serve you. I want to love you in a greater way, serve you in a greater way. I want you to get the glory for it. But I want to serve you today. Give me an opportunity to serve you today. And you know how you can serve God? A cup of cold water sometimes. The Bible talks about that. A cup of cold water in His name has great value. It may not be standing up. It may not be playing the piano. It may not be singing a special. It may not be doing whatever in a position, but it might be never seen by anyone but God, but it's still serving the King of Kings. I say it's great value when we do that. But Shechem is an important place. So it's not just here because it's here for no reason. There's memories there, shall we say. And many of you have memories of places that you would go. Now, Joshua knows the people are prone to idol worship. And so he has this meeting. Let's continue reading. And called for the elders of Israel and for their heads. Okay? That doesn't mean he wanted their heads off. It was the head of the company or the head of the department or whatever. Their judges, their officers, they presented themselves before God. So first, that was the leadership got together in verse number 1. But now look at verse number 2. It starts off, and Joshua said unto how many? All the people. So they had the meeting with the leadership, but then they had the meeting right away with everybody. And he gathers them all together. He is aware that heathen nations surround them. We just named a bunch of ites, right? We just read all those ites. And there's ites in 2026 as well. We got to watch out for them. And idolatry, Joshua knew that idolatry would rob Israel of God's blessing. I hope you're catching these statements. Because idolatry is going to rob me of God's blessing if I don't watch out. Idolatry is going to rob you of God's blessing if we don't die to those idols, whatever they might be. You know, an idol could be fear. We worship fear more than faith. We all are prone to that, aren't we? Maybe you don't show it. Maybe you can put on a mask, a faith mask, but underneath that faith mask is actually fear. Don't let fear be an idol in 2026. Idolatry will rob me. Idolatry will rob us. Idolatry will rob us of God's blessing. Now, as we read through this part of the chapter, we see the emphasis on wholly following the Lord. I want to ask you this morning, is there any other way we should follow the Lord than wholly following the Lord? Wholly following the Lord means faithfully following the Lord. It means we're all in to follow the Lord. He deserves that. But idolatry will keep me from wholly following the Lord. I'll follow the Lord for a week, and then I won't follow him for 2, and then I'll follow him for 3, and I won't follow. You know, this can happen in our life, but God deliver us from that. That we pray that we wholly follow him this year. So he's greatly concerned about idolatry getting in the way of the service of God. So let's take a look at several things this morning that we find in our text. First, right out of the bat in this sermon, if you will, about serving the Lord, number one, he reminds them of God's blessings in the past. Now, that's a lengthy part of what we just read, so we're not going to reread all of it, but in verses 2 to 13, it's kind of a, hey, don't forget what God did. And I was actually looking at some of these this morning even as I was reading the passage one more time. Look with me, if you will, and I'll try not to miss any of them. I underlined them in the Bible at home, but I'm preaching from a different one. But notice in verse 3, he said, I took. Verse 4, I gave. Verse 4 again, I gave. Verse 5, I sent. Verse 5, I plagued. Verse 5, I did. This is God. This is God, not Joshua. He's saying God did this. I brought, verse 5. Verse 6, I brought. Verse 7, I have done. Verse 8, I brought. Verse 8, I gave. And I mean, I'm looking at these, I'm like, what? Whoa. I destroyed, verse 8. Verse 10, I would not hearken. Verse 11, I delivered. Verse 12, I sent. Verse 13, I have given. And I might have missed one. The point is, when you read that, and maybe later today, go home and read it again or this week, and just let the words sink in that Joshua is saying, God did all of this. Past tense. I have, I did, I gave. Meaning, God has already done all of these things. God has already provided you with all of this. Now you think about it in your life this morning. You know, we don't have time to have everybody get a microphone and give a testimony. We had some beautiful testimonies on New Year's Eve. It was great to pray together into the new year. We were all barely awake, but we made it. But it was wonderful to hear how God had spoke to people in 2025 through his word and through preaching and all of it, and how God was at work, and praise the Lord for that. But maybe you could think about now, as we think about God delivering them from Egypt, Egypt is a picture of the world. We might say today that in 2025, 2026, as we think about this text, we could look back and say, God delivered me from Satan. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. He delivered us. We're no longer bound by the shackles of sin anymore. We've been set free by the blood of Christ. And that could be something. Then we could say, well, God provided them all of this. We could say God has provided us with his word. God has given us his word today. And we have 66 books, all of them God breathed, all of them perfect without error, all of them from God to you. It's a love letter to you. I mean, when you got a love letter from your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, normally you didn't wait to read it. Normally you wanted to open that thing up right away and see what they had to say and read it. And every day we have the privilege and opportunity to open up the love letter from God. You know, I had an 8-year-old boy come up to me today during handshaking time, and he opened his Bible up to the Bible reading calendar that was on his Bible, and he said, I'm going to read the Bible this year, Pastor. 8 years old. Hallelujah. That's the time to start when you're 8. And then if you live to be 80, you have 72 years of Bible reading. But how old are you? How about you read the Bible this year? Read it passionately. Read it slowly. Read it reverently. Read it meditatively. Read God's word. We have it. In other words, Joshua was saying, look at all the blessings. We have those too. 2025, look at the blessings. 2024, 2023, look at the blessings. 2001, the first Sunday of Anchor Baptist Church, look at all the blessings in all these years, almost 25 years. And praise the Lord, and there's more to come. Look at all the blessings in your life. When the day you got saved, that's a huge blessing, nothing greater than that. Joshua reminded them of God's blessings in the past. See, I think if we're going to serve God, one choice, one life, one choice, serve Christ, we need to do this too. We need to take notice of what God has done in our life. And maybe we need to get just a little bit of a notebook. Maybe we need to sit down one day and just start writing the blessings of God and keep writing and adding to it every day, adding to it every day. This is my blessing book. Because there's going to be a day when you need the blessing book. There's going to be a day when the bottom drops out and you think God has abandoned you, which is not true. You pull that blessing book out. I mean, the Bible is a blessing book, but you pull that blessing book out that you've written with your own handwriting and you start reading it, guess what's going to happen? Your heart's going to be stirred. So would mine, and so does mine. Maybe we need to have a blessing book in 2026 in our lives, all of us. That will help us make the right choice to serve Christ if we remember the blessings of God. This is exactly what Joshua was doing prior to saying, now, hey, listen up. He said, remember what God did? Second thing he did was he said, he reminded them of his decision to serve God. Let's see verse 14. This is where we get into our theme. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. See that word, now, therefore? That's after all the blessings. Now that I've given you all the blessings, listen up. That's not me. I'm saying, you know, listen up, Joshua says. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Again, this is part of serving God. If you have no fear of God, you're not going to serve God. It's going to be hard to serve God if you don't remember his blessings. Because when things aren't going the way you want them to 100% of the time, which never happens, doesn't mean God's not good. It's just because we have expectations that aren't part of God's expectations. You know, God's expectations for my life are better than mine. God's expectations for your life are way better than yours. So, but it's hard for us to yield to those expectations. And so when those times come, we remember the blessings of God. And we remember the goodness of God. Fear God. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Here it is. Put away the gods. Put away the gods. I've underlined those four words in my Bible right here. Put away the gods. Church, put away the gods. Amen. You might be the God of your life. You. I might be the God of my life. Right? Let's face it. Like many preachers have said, I'm my worst enemy. That's probably true for almost everybody here. You know? That's why Paul said, I have to die every day. Not just once or twice. I have to die every day. Put away the strange gods. May God give us a revival of destroying idols in 2026. See, this we have a lot of sub-themes every year, you know. We have one main theme, but there's about 45,000 sub-themes, okay? Maybe not quite that many, 35,000. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And then we've underlined these words, serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, do you know what that tells me? That tells me Joshua knew the vibe of who he was speaking to. I know that's not an Old Testament word, vibe. That's a 2026 one, all right? He's like, okay, maybe he could see it in their eyes. Maybe it was body language. I mean, this is inspired scripture, so I'm just using a little bit of a sanctified imagination. But why would he say that? You know? Look, if you don't want to serve God, it's your choice. It's really what he says there. So I'll just let the Bible say it. Okay? Because he says, if it's evil unto you. Whoa, strong word, isn't it? Not if it seems bad, if it seems difficult, if it seems evil, almost like the opposite of good is evil. Isn't that right? It is. Wow. Strong word. To serve the Lord, choose you this day. Okay. You know, he's like, don't, Peter, I don't want to, let's not put this off. If you were here July 8th, 2023, I preached on this verse. And I gave out a little card. It's the only time I've ever done it, before and since. Jonah Munoz helped me make that card up. It was an idea God gave me at like 10 p.m. the night before preaching. That doesn't happen a lot, thank the Lord, because that makes me nervous. And I have the card on my desk. It says, I choose Christ. Oh, look at that. Oh, come on now. I got to hold that. Look at that right there. Wow, that's special. Way to go, Miss Ross. July 9th, 2023. Today, I choose Jesus. Maybe you have one of those. Maybe you got one of those. Anyway, I'm just saying, it's a choice. Don't wait to serve God. He said, today. this day. I'm asking you on this first Sunday of the year, choose you this day for the year, for your life. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood. So you know what he's saying as well? You will serve something. So it's not a choice not to serve or to serve. The choice is already made. You will serve and I will serve. It's who we will serve. Okay. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. So he knows there's idols there. There's idols all around us in 2026. They're everywhere. You know what? Some of the idols that are around us, I got to keep moving here. You know, they look really nice. I'm not trying to be unkind, but they're not this like a Buddha type thing, you know? I mean, I know people worship that, and we need to pray for them. They need Christ. They need the Lord. Just 2 weeks ago when we were out doing flyers, and I haven't been able to do these for a long time, but I took a leap and went out and did them for a little while, and there was an altar right there on somebody's porch. Seen him for 25 years here, all over different places. Maybe that's not an idol that would pull you away, but there's plenty of them to choose from, and we do choose. It could be again. I'm the most. Excited athlete in the room, maybe not, but now at this age, but maybe it's sports. Could be. Maybe it's just being successful in the eyes of the world. Maybe it's some kind of the, I don't know what kind of video games they have these days, but, or what, I don't know what all goes on with that these days, but maybe it's something like that, that it just takes, what do you mean by, how could that be an idol? Because it takes time to be involved in these things. Again, there's nothing wrong as long as they're not an idol. We could go on through that, but that's not really my purpose, so I need to keep moving. But then notice what he says, but, Joshua says, but as for me. So he told him about all of God's blessings, and then he says, I just want you to know, though, I'm going to serve God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 15 is the theme for Anchor Baptist Church for 2026. Would you do your best to memorize that verse throughout this year? And I will try to re-memorize it. It was memorized once in my life, but I need to re-memorize it, okay? I am praying in 2026 that each of us will find a way and more ways to serve the King. Would you please make that a matter of prayer? I'm not trying to say I'm Joshua today. I'm just trying to let you know it's my desire to serve the King in a greater way. Will I struggle? Sure I will. So pray for me. I'll pray for you. But I'm making a decision. I've already made it many times, but I'm making it anew and afresh that he is worthy of my service, and I don't have much time left of my vapor. And I don't know when my life is going to be suddenly gone. So, got to serve him. Not that I have to, by the way. Don't think like that. Change that have to a get to. My parents taught me that a long time ago. You don't have to take out the trash bin, you get to. Oh, that's what I said. Oh, come on, Dad. Come up with a new one. And now here I am 52. I can imagine my dad saying it to me and me saying it to my kids at times. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do the dishes, Pastor Yassine. For Saba, you get to. Okay. $5 afterwards, it's okay. We don't have to serve the King. We get to. What a privilege that the King, the creator of the universe, would say to little old me and you, I want you to serve me with your life. Wow. What a blessing. By the grace of God, I will serve the Lord in 2026. By the grace of God, I will serve the Lord more this year than last. By the grace of God, I will serve the Lord when I feel like it and when I do not. By the grace of God, I will serve the Lord whether others do or do not. Don't look around you and look to see if anybody else is serving God. Keep your eye on the King of Kings and serve him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Joshua said, folks, You do what you're going to do. You go ahead. Me, my house, we're going to serve God. That's what he did. He said, look, this is what God did. This is what I'm going to do. Then number three. We didn't read this, but I'm going to give it to you quickly here. Oh. Yeah, okay. We'll keep going. I had some other things, but God made me forget about them, so that's fine. Number three. He reminds them of God's discipline. So lest you think that when you're saved, you say, well, I'm not going to get in the game. I'm going to sit on the bench. I'm just going to ride the pine. That's what it used to be called when I was, you ride the pine. That means you're not playing much. And you didn't want to be riding the pine, right, Brother Barry? You wanted to be in the game. God says in verse 16, and the people answered, and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. In other words, sounds pretty good. Look at verse 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Good, all right. Verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Sounds pretty good. Now, what they're doing here is they're giving God, if you will, lip service. They're saying one thing, but unfortunately, that is not what's going to happen. That's not how it ends with this group of people. Sadly, we come to a verse of Scripture that tells us that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Verse 17, for the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those signs, those great signs in our sight. So they're telling Joshua, preserved us in all the way there wherein we went and among the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, this is an interesting thought here, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is unholy. God. You might think, well, didn't he just tell him to serve the Lord? But I think what he's saying here is you can't serve your idols in God. God is holy. So you can't come to God holding on to, the idol and saying, okay, I'm here to serve God, but I still got my idol right over here. It's still important to me. That's just my opinion. Because then he says he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Then, if ye forsake the Lord, verse 20, and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. The people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. God is worthy of our service. Unfortunately, many times in our life, the idols come in and they take away from our service for the Lord. And God will have to judge us. There is chastisement for the believer. Yes, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, but God doesn't want his ambassadors looking so much like the world and not like him. And so he has to bring things into my life and bring things into your life to bring us back to him. Then he reminds them, number four, of God's covenant in verses 22 to 28. I won't read those. This covenant that is mentioned here started in Exodus chapter 20 on Mount Sinai. And it was renewed again by Moses, and now Joshua is renewing it again. So it's kind of like generational. It's a generational reminder. Now, the Old Testament has great value for you and me, by the way. So I think everybody here knows that. But this is stuff that we have to look at and we have to say, okay, there's a primary interpretation, but there's also a secondary interpretation as to how we can apply it to our life. We are not Israel, okay? We are the church. We're not Israel. They are not the same, okay? They're two separate entities in God's economy of work, all right, and what God does. But we can learn from what's happening here into our lives in 2026, Okay? We can learn from this reminder of what God did. We can learn from his decision. We can learn from the discipline. And we can learn that in every generation, we have to accept God's will and way for our life, for our generation. It's like it started with Abraham, it went to Moses, and now Joshua is saying, hey, folks, don't forget what happened in Exodus. Don't forget what happened with Abraham, our father. Every generation must determine to be faithful to the Lord and serve him with all their heart. I am not on the coattails of my dad, Ken Turner. I need to serve the Lord with all my heart. Yes, I'm thankful for his godly example, but I cannot lean on his service. I need to stand up on the feet that God has given me and the strength that God has given me and say, for my time on earth, I want to serve the God. I want to serve God with every fiber of my being. And whether you have someone behind you that served God or not, you're the beginning of the service for God, which I believe is also a great task that you have before you, that you are the beginning. No one before you that you know of really served God or was even saved. Maybe you're a first generation Christian. Then you're starting the generation. You're the Abraham. And if time would allow, if God's time allows, there will be a Moses, there will be a Joshua, who after you and when you're with the Lord will be able to take the baton and they can serve God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's very important that we serve the Lord, not just for ourselves, but it's for the crowd that is watching us. They will serve God on their own, but they're looking to examples. And I'm still looking for those at 52. I'm looking at the men and women of God that are maybe older than me and some even younger than me that are serving the Lord, and I'm learning from them and I'm growing from them. They're not the source. God is the source, but God is in them. God is in you and me through his Spirit if you're saved. And it's every generation. The church has a reminder, by the way. They had a covenant. Guess what we have? And I forgot to mention this earlier. It was good timing. You forgot and so did I. But it's because it's a reminder. It's in my notes right here. Every time we have a reminder too. We don't have to go to Mount Sinai. It's a long ways from here. But we have a reminder. Every time we baptize, the church has a reminder. What is the reminder? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And tonight we're baptizing, by the way. God willing, first Sunday of the year. If you need to be baptized, tonight's the night. Guess what? Also, next Sunday, we're going to have the Lord's table. Next Sunday night, we're going to have the Lord's table. We'll get everybody up at a point in time. We'll let the classes meet. But at the end of the service, we'll get everybody together, and we'll have the Lord's table. Do you know what that is? A reminder of what? Broken body, shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we have them in the church too. What are they? They're reminders. Just like Joshua said, look at all God did. Look at all God. And when we see somebody get baptized, we remember the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Wow, what should it be? What should it be? It's not just something to get through and get over and move on. No, it's a reminder. And when we take that unleavened bread, that broken bread, it's a reminder that God let Jesus die for me and for you. And when we drink that little cup of grape juice, it's a reminder that his blood flowed down his body. The Bible says now that it's even interceding on our behalf in heaven. It's a reminder. And so when we think about those two things, then we ought to come back to this text and we ought to say, now, choose you this day whom you will serve. God's made a covenant with you. God's made a covenant with me through his Son, Jesus Christ. Why would we not want to serve him? Why would we not want to tell somebody about him? Take gospel tracts with you today. We say it almost every Sunday. Take gospel tracts with you today. Those who have tracts, pass them out. Praise God for thousands of tracts that went out. Praise God for 81 Bibles that went into the first responders this end of the year. 81. Keep praying for that. That's a seed that's been sown. Some brand new places got Bibles this December. They didn't get them in December of 2024. We have reminders. Matthew Henry said that it is the will of God we should every one of us make religion our serious and deliberate choice. Of course, we know it's okay to use the word religion, but we understand a relationship with the Lord. Let us state the matter impartially to ourselves, weigh things in an even balance, and then determine for that which we find to be truly good and true. Let us resolve upon a life of serious godliness. I think we need to get back to that in the church. Serious godliness. You can have fun. I'm all for it. You've laughed in the message. That wasn't because I'm trying to be a comedian. But it's okay to laugh. But we need a serious level of godliness in our life. Because the world makes a joke of God. Don't get into that. It's a mess. Don't get into it. It's not the man upstairs. He's the holy God. Amen. Creator God. Don't call him that. Okay? I'll love you if you do, but don't call him that around me. Because that's not what he is. Serious godliness. Not merely because we know no other way, but because really upon search, we find no better. Oh, I love that. That's what he said about this text, Matthew Henry. It's not because there's no other thing to do in life. There's a lot of other things you could do in life. But it's because there's no better thing to do in life. One choice, one life. Serve Christ. Let's pray.